want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. We're going to be in the 9th verse. And also turn with me to John, the 16th chapter. And we're going to be in the 13th verse. So you can look for one. Then we'll go to the other one after. This morning, I want to deal with three things that will remove the Holy Ghost from being in control. And I want to put emphasis on this in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is always in control. Always in control. But if there are things we can do to remove him out of control of our lives, which means we get left behind from God moving forward. God is always moving forward. He's always progressing. And so it's our choice if we want to progress with him. His agenda is going to be reached. He's the beginning and the end. In other words, God started the beginning because he read the end already. So he's going to finish what he set out to do. He's never failed. He's always accomplished everything he set out to do. But we as humans, sometimes we get left out because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to be in control. So let's read 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Go with me to John, the 16th chapter. I need to read these two passages to set up where we're going. This is Jesus talking in the 16th chapter of John. As they always say, no sense me trying to be spiritual. How we know? Because it's in red. Need to be all deep. Jesus speaking in the 13th verse, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That means they're not here yet. That means there's some things in your future that you're not going to know unless you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal them to you. Because there's some things God has planned for you, some things that you've been dreaming, that you think you've been dreaming. You think the vision God has given you is where he wants you to go. That's just to whet your appetite to get you moving in that direction. Because if God just gives you what he said, then he's limiting himself as God in your life. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So your imagination, when God gives you a picture, that's your imagination. So he's just obligated himself to do more than that. None of that can happen unless we allow the Holy Spirit. That's what this whole week is about, to be in control. Go with me to Genesis, the 1st chapter. That's the best place I can start to show you what happens when the Holy Spirit is not in control. The best place I can show you. It's always a lot of things happen in the first three chapters. A lot of things happen in the first three chapters that put us in a position to where Jesus had to come and redeem us, and now we living in a chaotic world because of them first three chapters. God did something wonderful, we mess it up. And we're going to see why we mess it up. And we keep repeating the same mistakes. Same mistake, because it's one simple thing that we keep leaving out. And these three the one thing we keep leaving out is the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see three things that we must do. If we don't get these three things straight, it's going to be very difficult for you to operate in the apostolic. It's going to be very difficult to operate in the apostolic. It's going to be, let me say it another way. It's going to be very hard for you, if you don't deal with these three things, it's going to be very hard for you to yield to government. Very hard. But if you get these three things straight, now what you say, he said these three things, what, you going to tell me the three things? Yeah, I'm going to tell them to you. Just give me a minute. Because I want to read some things, because I want to show them to you in the scripture so you don't think I just pull these out of thin air. All right? Genesis, the first chapter. We've already read that the Holy Spirit will reveal some things that we had not seen, heard, or dreamed about. We've read that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit come. When he comes, he's going to guide us in all truth. He's going to testify not of himself. He's going to talk about Jesus. And then he's going to show us things to come, right? So here it is in the first chapter of Genesis, in the very second verse. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, of the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now, every time you, there's a precedent set. Every time you see, we're going to go through, we're not going to read them all, but we're going to kind of skim through them. Everywhere you see, and God said, it was preceded by the Holy Spirit being in front. Now, here's what you have to understand about God. God is not insecure with who he is. That's why he delegates. Because when he delegates, when he sends out his word, he sends out the grace to make that thing accomplished. So it's a built in. If the grace is not attached, ain't nothing gonna get accomplished. When you see the Spirit move, that means the Holy Spirit was given instructions to be out there when I speak. So God said, Holy Spirit, I need you to be in a certain place that when I speak, things can be orchestrated. All right, you see this, right? So we go through Genesis, and we begin to see, and God said, and God said, and God said, we're going through, and God said, verse 11 is very important. Verse 11, very important. Verse 11 is very important because it has something to do with getting the Holy Spirit. Why we sometimes get the Holy Spirit out of control? Because we forget God's original plan. And when we forget God's original plan, that means we got to do some things ourselves. We got to figure some things out on our own. And when we do that, that means we don't have time to do what he says. So verse 11 is very important. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yield the seed, and the fruit tree yield the fruit of its own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 29. And God then made man, he's telling man this. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So there is God in the 11th verse establishing the system of seed time and harvest, and verse 29 giving it to man. All right? Go with me to chapter 2 to verse 20. See, I want to show you the Holy Spirit is being involved in all this. Genesis 2, verse 20, Adam gave name to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found any helpmeet for him. The first part of that verse, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. How did he know that? Holy Spirit. Didn't we just read that the Holy Spirit reveals things that we don't know? So that means Adam is talking to the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is instructing Adam, or you see that thing? That's an elephant, Adam. Adam, and watch this. He spoke in his inner man. So when Adam spoke out, it was as if Adam had said it, but Adam realized that it's the Holy Spirit telling me what to say. So my reliance is on the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing this? Go with me. Keep going. Let's keep going. Go with me to the third chapter. Now, something happened. See, we read the Bible. When we read the Bible, we read it because it's built in chapters, and we just kind of, because we can read, we can go from chapter 2 in about 5 minutes. We can read it. Then we jump into chapter 3. We can read chapter 3 in about another 5 minutes. We forget that there are spaces of time that can't everything be recorded. So there was a pattern set where Adam was on a daily basis talking to the Holy Spirit. Finding out holy, because you got to remember, all this is new to Adam. Adam, he looking at trees, and God say, look, you can touch this tree, you can't touch that tree. So the Holy Spirit is there to explain to Adam what God means. Don't touch that tree. You can eat off that tree. Don't touch this tree. So he's moving with the Holy Spirit on a consistent basis. Because all this is new to Adam. Yeah, God created him. It wasn't nobody raised Adam. Adam was a full-grown man here as a child, so now he needs somebody to escort him through this newly developed paradise he's in. Are you seeing this? So Adam had a consistent conversation with the Holy Spirit, but something happened in this third chapter. It says, watch this, the first verse. It says, in this third chapter, first verse, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, God had said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely not die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now watch this, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, number one, the first thing you're going to have to deal with is your pride and your ego. Here it is, Satan comes in and he begins to tell Eve and Adam, hey, look, y'all gonna be just like God. Are you eating this fruit? You're gonna know good and evil. You're gonna be just, ain't nothing really bad gonna happen. You're gonna know this. And so they saw the fruit was good. And so they began to become prideful. I forgot where I come from. I forgot how I got here. I forgot that it was my pastor that prayed with me and I got deliverance in the area. So I think my season is up here now. See, their pride comes in and their ego comes in because you've been sitting there hearing the word. Now, the word is supposed to build you up. But what happens is we don't control the building. We don't control how the word, you have control on what affects you. So when the word is coming into our hearts, we have to be the ones to remember, I know that I ain't nothing without the Holy Spirit. This confidence I got is only, I've only gotten it because the word is being sown into my heart. I have to realize that the connection that I've made to my man and woman of God is causing me to prosper. I have to realize that my connection to my man and woman of God is causing me to be healthy. I have to realize that my connection to my man and woman of God is the very thing that causes my family to be whole. See, Adam and Eve forgot. Why they forgot? Because they stopped talking to the Holy Spirit. See, if you stop talking to the Holy Spirit or you begin to ignore the Holy Spirit, see, somebody got to be in control. And Satan not really picky about who gonna be in control when it comes to you and him. Because both of us ignorant. Because you know the statement, misery love company? Satan had made the mistake already, and so he's trying to get us to do the same thing he did, which is to ignore the Holy Ghost. Get outside of government. Come on, let's go. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
So the first thing we got to deal with is pride and ego. Now, when I say that, some of y'all going to go to that favorite scripture that you go to about pride and ego, and I'm not going to go there first. Go with me to Psalms, the 10th chapter. Psalms, the 10th chapter. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. God is a good God. Psalm, the 10th chapter, I told you, right? Yes. 10th chapter and the 4th verse. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Notice he didn't say God is not in his thoughts. He said God is not in all of his thoughts. Go with me to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is what? Is wisdom. So the first thing we got to deal with this pride and this ego. We got to deal with, and here's the thing. I don't want to just deal with, it's easy to spot the pride and ego that we all accustomed to. The arrogant person. But if you got some plans in your life that's not connected to who God connected you to, and you don't want to let them go so that you can put your hands to the plow with who God connected you to, you got pride and ego. The Bible plainly says if a man is not faithful, and if you're not faithful in that which is another man's. Faithful. Let's break the word faithful down. Faithful. Full of faith. What is faith? Faith is the word of God. Or watch this. Faith is God's instructions to you. Right? So if I'm full of God's instructions, that means that I'm going to have to obey God on the behalf of somebody else before I try to obey God on the behalf of myself. So that means God said, if I can't trust you to hear my voice when it's going to benefit somebody else, then I know I can't trust you to hear me when it's going to benefit you. Are you seeing this? We have to get rid of that pride and that ego. Now, you don't have to do it by yourself, because we're going to see a gentleman that took care of his pride and ego. We're going to read about him. Took care of his pride and ego. Keep going. Let's keep going. Genesis. Back to Genesis. Because Adam and Eve did three things in this garden that's stopping us. Because, see, they were already in the apostolic. I mean, Adam was just made in the apostolic. Adam just literally came from the apostolic. God called his apostolic team together. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he said, let us make man in our image. So Adam was made apostolically. Adam was made because of God. Everything was in order. Genesis 3rd chapter. Watch this. Now, when they had made this mistake, Adam and Eve, when they had made this mistake, they hid themselves. The Bible says they hid themselves from the voice of the Lord. They hid themselves from God, spending time with God. They hid themselves from spending time with His Spirit. Why? Because they were ashamed. Why? Because they had disobeyed. Now, when God saw them, and they say, God said, why y'all hide? What y'all hiding for? They say we were naked. Now, watch this. God said, who told y'all that? Based on your answer, based on what you're telling me, you naked, this ain't something I told you. Better yet, this ain't something the Holy Spirit told you. Y'all ain't been talking to the Holy Spirit. So who told you you was naked? Where you getting your information from? Where you getting your vision from? Where you getting your instructions about season is up from? Oh. You know, I'm on about my sixth or seventh reading of this book called The Alliance of Honorable Men. And I pick something out of this book every time. You know, Bishop Jonathan David, Apostle Jonathan David said this. He said, there's only two reasons why you disconnect from where God connected you. It's only two. I don't know where all these other reasons come from, but it's only two. One is because of death, and the other is because who you were connected to has walked away from Christ. That's the only two. So I don't know where all these other reasons are coming from. I don't understand all these reasons people come up with about why they got to go or why they season up. Do you realize that God is trying to go somewhere with us? And if people keep breaking off, trying to do their own thing, that's why we put back in our marriage ceremony, to death do us part. Because somewhere along the way, we forgot about that. That's why the divorce rate's so high in America now. See, in America, we don't really understand what covenant is. We don't understand it. We don't really understand here's what we understand. In a Christian church, here's what we understand about covenant. We only understand our covenant with God, but we don't understand really our covenant with each other. So Adam, be seated. So Adam and Eve told God they were naked. God said, how y'all know y'all naked? Ain't nobody, I ain't tell y'all that. And I sure didn't tell the Holy Spirit to tell y'all that, because he ain't going to tell y'all to say nothing that I ain't telling him to say. So obviously y'all getting your information from somewhere else. All right, now watch this. Watch what happened. God began to run down. Watch this. The results of their decision. He told Satan the snake was going to happen to you. He told Eve was going to happen to her. He told Adam. Watch what he told Adam. He said, verse 19, verse 17. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of this tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust unto dust thou shalt return. So here is God telling him, it's no more you just walking around and seeds falling out the trees and just planting themselves and coming up harvest. Now you're going to have to work. So watch this. The second thing we're going to have to deal with if we're going to operate in apostolic and allow the Holy Spirit to be in control is we're going to have to begin to trust the seed again. Because you cannot have the mentality that you got to get paid for everything you do. You can't have that. See, we got that. See, the whole issue is we have to distance ourselves from the world's way of thinking as much as possible. We can't have pride and ego. We can't think that we got to work for everything we get. And we can't expect to get paid for everything we do. I don't expect to get paid for everything I do because I expect to get a harvest from my seed. Are you seeing this? See, this is why it's hard for us to serve, because every time we do something, we think we ought to get paid. See, what happens? You're not leaning on the Holy Spirit, even on your secular jobs. Because you're trusting that paycheck and not your seed, when they start talking about layoffs, you get nervous. And so you start doing less work. Or watch this. Or you say, this your favorite statement. Man, shoot, they ain't paying me enough for all this. And you don't realize that your God is watching you the whole time. Because walking with God is not a switch. You can't just turn it on and turn it off when you get ready. What you do in the church, you're going to do outside the church. You can't be dedicated in the church, then when you go on your job, you're shiftless and lazy. Because God watching you all the time. And so God's saying, this is a double-minded person. This person cannot be trusted. I see them when they're in the church, when they think I'm looking, they acting all right. But when they're in the world system, they think I ain't looking, they acting a jack. It's because we are not trusting. See, last night was not about what we can do for the apostle. Last night is really about what we can do for ourselves. See, the world system is like tar. It's like tar. You know, you ever seen somebody, a movie or something, somebody got stuck in tar, and tar has elasticity to it. And so you're trying to get out, but it pulls you back. It pulls you back. You're trying to go, but it pulls you back. So what happens is, when you're sowing the seed, that's when Satan comes and tries to pull you back. The harvest don't come back fast enough. Oh, you like, oh, Lord, I done gave that money. Lord, I done gave it. Lord, it hurt. That's that world system not wanting to let you go. That's that world system holding on to you. But what you got to do is we're going to see a man. We're going to see a man that took care of that for us. So what you got to do is you got to stay steady. Trust the seed. Trust what the Holy Spirit would do with the seed through you. Because go to Mark. Did I write that down? I don't know if I wrote that down. I got 20 minutes. I ain't got time to go down. If you remember, Jesus was given the parable of the sower. And he got to some fell by the wayside, some fell in stony ground, then some fell in a thorn. Jesus described that as the word being sown, but then it fell on the heart of those that are carried away or obstructed by the cares of this world. And they're distracted by this. Watch this, what the Bible said. And this, for those that think this is an excuse not to be rich, it's not. It's just saying the way that you go by. It says the being carried away and being distracted by the deceitfulness of riches. See, let's get something straight. Let's get some real clear, real straight right here. Money is important. God knows it. Satan knows it. Your bank knows it. You know it. So the reason why God developed the system of seed time and harvest is so that your attention cannot be on that. He wants your attention on his agenda. Why do you think in Matthew the 6th chapter, he said, don't be concerned about what you're going to eat. Don't be concerned about what you're going to wear. Was Jesus saying don't worry about what you're going to eat? No. Sometimes you want chicken. Sometimes you want steak. Jesus don't want you worried about how you're going to get the steak. He don't want you worried about how you're going to get the chicken. He wants you concerned on what he wants you to be what about his business and let him take care of what you're going to. See, this thing here, man, with the, we, so therefore, When Pastor Phillip says something, they were covering the driveway of the apostle, and they were resealing it. And I'm trying to get the statement how he said. I'm working. I don't know how he said. I'm working, but you say no. I'm serving. I'm serving. I'm not working because working I'm letting myself to pay. But when I'm serving, I open myself to what my seed can do for me. See, what happens, that mentality. So now, watch this. Now comes the problem. Now comes the situation where you see men and women of God that are doing what's right and God is progressing them. And then you think that they should give you some of what they got. See, minister, pastors, listen at me. This is why we push so hard at LTMA about the seed, because we have got to get you off the people's offering into the seed and trusted the seed. Because when the seed, when you living off the seed, can't nobody tell you nothing. When you living off the seed, you can stand in your pulpit and say, "Well, thus said the Lord," no matter who get mad. So we the second thing is we got to deal with this seed. We got to deal with the seed. Go back to Genesis. First chapter. Well, go to third chapter. Now, the third thing we got to deal with. God made a statement after. He told Eve, told Adam, you're gonna have to work now. Because Adam's income wasn't connected to his work. If you go back and read that right, if that's why I read it, that's why I said 11th verse is important and the 29th verse is important. Because if you remember, God created the system of sowing seed, time, and harvest in the 11th verse, gave it to man in the 29th verse. Adam didn't get a job description until the second chapter. And the latter part of the second chapter, he said, "I'm going to put you in the garden, you're going to dress it and keep it." So Adam's whole job was just to keep the garden looking beautiful. And the Holy Spirit was helping him. So after they messed up and God told him, "You're going to have to work now," God went to his apostolic team in his 22nd verse. And the Lord said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Now I got a, that, he said, God, and the Lord said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us." Wait a minute. If man has become like God, then why is he putting him out to God? Because why does God have an issue with that? Because in that 26th verse, he called his apostolic team together and said, "Let us make man in our image." So why does God have a problem that man has become like one of them, knowing good and evil? Here's the third thing we got to deal with. We have got to stop allowing Satan to blind us from the graces that God has connected us to. When somebody has a grace that you don't have, they just have a grace that you don't have. Adam and Eve got blinded to the grace that they were connected to. That's why they started talking to Satan, because pride caused them to be blind to the grace that the Holy Spirit was giving them access to. So watch this. God said, man has become just like us, knowing good and evil. The Holy Spirit don't really have to teach us a whole lot. It's about the Holy Spirit having to teach us how to apply. So watch this. So man knew good and evil, but they didn't know how to apply. See, you can know some things, but if you don't know how to apply it, see, you can know that an engine is in a car, but if you don't know how to take the key and put in the ignition and turn it, that engine, knowing that the engine is in the car, ain't gonna do you no good. So man knows some things, but man don't know how to apply. Why do man not apply? Because man can't be in yesterday, today, and tomorrow at the same time. And see, all of us, we're constantly changing things. We're constantly making decisions. So sometimes there are some decisions made that you don't know about that will affect your future, but God knows it. Some other people have made some decisions that's going to affect your future. You don't know nothing about it, but God knows about it. And he tells the Holy Spirit to give you insight on what changes to make. You might know some things to do, but then the Holy Spirit comes in and gives you wisdom on what to do. So watch this. So man is going, God, in other words, man was always destined to be like him. Because once God does something, he can't change it. See, he said, let us make man in our image. So when Adam and Eve ate off that tree, they became like God, knowing good and evil. But here's the issue. They did not mature like God wanted them to mature. Some of y'all might have ministries. And I have no doubt God has called some of you all. But you all want to eat off the tree that Adam and Eve ate off to fulfill your ministry and mature, rather than allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and to flow into your ministry. Wow. Are you seeing this? See, some of us are eating off that tree. So when we eat off that tree, we know some things, but we don't know how to apply. That's why you can't get nobody to follow you. That's why you can't get the money you need to do what you say God called you to do. That's why you're running all these brick walls. Because you're eating off that tree. And you're maturing. See, people, they came right out in the 11th chapter of Genesis, did the same thing. They came around, they say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build a tower. We're going to reach into heaven. We're going to get it together. We're going to get it. We're going to get it on. We're going to be coming together. We as one person, we're going to make this happen. We got one voice. We're going to make this happen. God say, wait a minute. This is not my agenda. Right. So, I mean, if I don't stop them, they're going to accomplish some stuff. So I'm going to have to confuse their language. So watch this. Every time you get outside of God's agenda and the Holy Spirit stop talking to you, you're going to get confused. Because you know the word true. You know the word has come through for you before. You know the word of God is powerful. You know it accomplished. You know God's word ain't gonna come back to him void. But for some reason, it's coming back to you void. So now you're confused. Go with me to Matthew's the fourth chapter. We've got 20 minutes left and we're gonna wrap this up. Because I don't want to leave you hanging. Because I don't want to talk about showing you examples of what happened when the Holy Spirit is not in control without showing you the example of what happens when the Holy Spirit is in control. Amen. Matthew, the fourth chapter, the very first verse. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit. I'm going to read that again because I want y'all to catch this. Then was Jesus led up of the
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is right there, right?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the one that's leading Jesus up. Now, see, Adam and Eve failed in this area. But in order for us to be redeemed, see, We went to Hawaii a few years back, and there's this road. They say it's a journey you go on. It's a narrow road. You go up this mountain. Say the road to Hana. I don't know if anybody took that. The road to Hana. Everybody ever heard that? The road to Hana. You go up that mountain. It's a long drive, and it got ain't nothing but a little raggedy hamburger shack up top. And you're like, what we just did for 2 hours? I mean, you're navigating curves, cars coming, you got to pause, because the cars, you literally looking out your window, and you looking down the cliff. Well, on our way up, there was a spot that we went to that we walked over through some woods, and we came to a beautiful scenic area, and waterfall coming, and And beautiful water there. And they had some young kids, the teenager, because at the time, I believe I was 19, 20. So we went out there. My whole friend was out there. And so we seen these kids out there, man, and they got there, man. I mean, off a cliff. They just jumped off the cliff and jumped in the water, and they were swimming. And then one of the guys came over to me. He said, man, it's fun, man. Won't you jump? No, they hadn't jumped off yet. That's what they hadn't jumped off yet. And the guy walked up to me and said, man, look, you could jump off. You could jump off in this water. When he said that, at that particular moment, you got to realize we're about 20 feet up. The water down there. Now, I can swim, all right? Ain't no problem. I can swim. I can get out of anybody's water. I can swim. Ain't got no problem. I dive from it. So ain't no problem swimming. But what the issue was, that soon as he say, asked me to jump off in that cliff, first thing in my mind was, I don't know how deep that water is. The second thing happened is I started looking around and it started looking like a scene out of Anaconda. And you know there ain't no snakes in Hawaii, but the picture, it was just like, man, this is Anaconda type stuff. I ain't just jumping. So watch this. I said, you know what? You jump first. If you jump and you come up, then I jump, because I know I can come up. So he stepped back and took off and just jumped. Poosh, hit the water. I say, whoa, it's a moment of truth. He jumped. He not about to punk me out. I'm about to jump. So I backed up and jumped on in. Poosh, the water was cool. When I came up, the whole picture had changed. I saw the sun shining through. It wasn't in the corner no more. Got me. My whole point for saying that is that when Adam and Eve messed up, this world got ugly and got dark and things started happening chaotically. But then God decided to send somebody that will come into this chaotic world and show us how the sun can shine again. So watch this. In the fourth chapter of Matthew, all what was happening was God had been telling us how the Savior is coming, how the Messiah is coming. They had been prophesying. So watch this. Soon as Jesus got in ministry, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Holy Ghost drove him up into the wilderness. The Holy Ghost kept him there 40 days. He said, I'm going to break your body down to where you're hungry. You ain't going to really know where you're at. You're going to have to depend on me. Yeah. Are you seeing this? Yeah. Then the tempter came. You may be seated. Because I don't like somebody to tell me to do something and you ain't done it yet. Don't tell me jump and you ain't jump yet. You jump, come back and tell me, and you if you come up, then I'll jump. See, that's why, it's teaching all through. See, Pastor, this is why LT May is about order. Because the Bible says, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It behooves me how pastors want people to follow them, but they don't want to follow nobody. So it's only biblical that you reap what you sow. If you ain't following nobody, ain't nobody gonna follow you. Hold on, I ain't finished yet. It behooves me again how we got pastors who quit to talk about offering, but don't want sow. It's biblical. If you don't sow, then ain't nobody gonna sow concerning you. Come on, Matthew, the fourth chapter. I got 13 minutes. Let's close this up. You may be seated. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit is so wonderful in how he orchestrates. Dr. Forrest talked about we don't have to go to heaven, but heaven, we can bring heaven to earth. We've been so concerned about Eden and saying that Eden is a place. Eden might have been a particular place at that moment, but if you remember, God told Adam and Eve to go and multiply. Y'all thought that was about children. Know that one. That was God telling Adam and Eve, pay attention to what you got in your surroundings, because I'm going to empower you to go and replenish the earth like this. I got to train you first. I'm putting you in this small spot so I can train you, because when you go out there, it's not going to look like this. But when you go out there, you're going to be empowered with the Holy Spirit, because if you remember, before I spoke, the Holy Spirit moved. Yeah. So when I put you out in that wilderness, when you before you speak, you got to let the Holy Spirit move. Yeah. Are you seeing this? Yeah. Come on. God was so serious about the Holy Spirit being in control that if you notice in the last verse of that third, in that third chapter of Genesis, it says that a cherubim was guarding the gates of Eden, right? We all cook up on the cherubim, but if you notice what God used, God say a sword with what? A sword with fire, with flaming. Look. God blocked the path to Eden by the Holy Spirit. What we recognize the Holy Spirit as? A flame. What the sword represents? So the Holy Spirit and the Word put together is dunamis. It's power. So the way to your Eden is through the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is not in control, you won't see Eden. All right, real quick. Come on, let's go. Y'all be seated. Come on, let's finish this. Let's finish this. All right, now watch this. Jesus, Matthew's the fourth chapter, verse 1. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Holy Spirit's with him to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights on purpose, Jesus decided on himself, led by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to fast because I got to get at my weakest, my flesh at its weakest point. Because see, what I was saying earlier about somebody telling you to do something that they hadn't done yet, Jesus couldn't tell us we were redeemed if he first didn't prove this thing out. If you notice, it's the same situation, different time. Adam and Eve was in the garden. Satan came up tempting them. Here we are again. We're in the wilderness again. Here comes Satan trying to tempt the King of Kings. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. There Jesus is dealing with pride and ego. Jesus said, I can't just live off what I know. I can't just live off this physical stuff. I can't just live off this my mentality. I also got to have the Word of God coming in my life. If the Word of God is not there, I'm going to fail. That's Jesus dealing with pride and ego. Let's keep going. Verse 5, then the devil taking him up on the holy city and setting him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Yeah. Other words, Jesus was telling Satan, I know who I'm connected to. I'm not blinded to the grace that I have access to. How many times we go through the gospel and we say, Jesus say the Father and I are? How many times you heard Jesus say, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I ain't doing nothing else, whatever he tells me to do. So Jesus was not blinded to the grace that he was connected to. Are you seeing this? Now watch this. Here's the last one. Again, verse 8, the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. What are we dealing with now? What this scripture do you think this scripture is dealing with? We only have but three things. I told you two. We about to deal with something. I said Jesus dealt with pride and ego. And he wasn't blinded to the grace he was connected to. What are we about to deal with now? The seed. We're about to deal with who is your source. See, if you don't trust the seed, then I know God ain't your source. If you don't trust God's prescribed order to wealth, if you don't trust the seed, I know he's not your source. So you can't answer like Jesus is about to answer. See, Jesus wasn't ensnared by the cares of this world. Jesus was born. People started bringing him stuff. Jesus need to pay taxes. He go fishing. So all Jesus need, watch this. Jesus needed to eat one time, and the tree told him, I ain't feeding you. And God came down and cursed the tree. God, we have to get out of this world system economy. You cannot effectively be apostolic in the world system economy. Because if you don't trust the seed, you're going to be wondering how I'm going to get paid. All right, real quick, watch this. And he, verse 9, he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, here's Jesus able to tell Satan, you ain't got nothing to offer me that will cause me to get off from my assignment. See, let's be truthful. Sometimes we get distracted. We get distracted. We get called to duty. We get called to serve. And sometimes we get distracted because we got bills. This is why we talk about debt, getting out of debt so much, because debt is a beast. Debt will limit your ability to move. Debt will limit your ability to function. The purpose of debt, the reason why debt exists, Satan created debt to always owe somebody so that when God calls you, you can come up, God, I can't do that today. I know some gentlemen here, we were doing some work right here. I know a gentleman, he took off from work. So he can come serve. He had days saved up. Days they were going to pay him for if he didn't use. He took those days, used them so he can come and serve. Now, what caused him to do that? Because he knew that he's trusting the seed. He ain't trusting that paycheck. He's trusting the seed. Now, what he did for that, no telling what God wants to do for him. Three things, and I'm about to sit down. Three things that has to be dealt with. You're going to have to deal with that pride and ego. If you have God, if God called you to do something and you in another man's ministry, oh, watch this. Even if God got you pastoring and you need somebody you to submit to, you need to swallow that pride and that ego and find out, God, my agenda ain't moving by itself. What's the problem? The problem is you're not connected to an agenda that is moving. You need to get swallowed up in somebody else's agenda before God exposes you in your agenda. Man, Dr. Tom kept telling me, he said, Leroy Jr., you need to put some tapes together. I'm on TV, you need to get your broadcast ready. I ain't never got no broadcast ready. I don't need no confusion out there. Dun, 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 dun. Just TV broadcast. Dun, 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 dun. Now coming Leroy Thompson Jr. People showing up on TV watching me thinking it's him. We don't need that confusion because what he is saying is more important than what I can say. You have to get swallowed up. You have to lose yourself. If you're not willing to lose yourself, God is not willing to find you. Because he knows he can't use you. You can't be trusted. Pride and ego. Second thing is you got to trust the seed. You got to trust the seed. You're going to have to begin to have. I'm serious about this, people. I'm serious about this seed account. I talk about the seed account over and over. I'm serious about the seed account. I have a seed account. My children have a seed account. We are serious about the seed. Because we are walking off of this world system. There's coming a time when this world system is going to kick you in your behind. It's going to try to kick you in your behind. If you're not on the seed, it's whooping people right now. They telling you, we got to lay you off, but then gas go up. Yeah. They saying, well, you can't find a job. We can't get you no job. But then the bread go up. That's the world system trying to choke the life out of you. And the third thing, you cannot be blinded to the grace that God has connected you to. Don't be blind. Them guys on that road with Jesus, and Jesus was walking with them, and Jesus was ministering to them. And the Bible say when their eyes were open, they say, didn't our hearts burn with us? Why in the world you got to wait till they gone? When your eyes can be opened while they there. Bishop Robinson says it best. Bishop Robinson say, I've been exposed to some things that I've never been exposed to, which caused me to go back and do some things that I never thought I could do. Why? Because his eyes are open. He ain't wait till Dr. Thompson go off the scene, then be reading the book, talking about, man. See, they got some people right now that's supposed to be carrying Smith Wigglesworth or nothing, and you can't find Smith Wigglesworth nothing nowhere around here. Why? Because they had some people that were blinded to the man grace while he was alive, and so now we got to read out of a book about this man doing miracles instead of miracles happening all over the place. Stop being blinded to the grace that God has connected to you. I'm done. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my boy. Hallelujah. That's what my spiritual father used to say about me in ministry. He said, that's my boy. This is so serious. Ministers, you must trust my ministry if you're here. All right? I know you trust me. You wouldn't be here. You're not a spy. You came here because the Spirit of God led you to come here. It's upon my heart with such a message as this. If you're in this room and you're a minister of the gospel and you know you don't have proper connection, I'm making you an offer. Then, I'll come back to that. Then there are those who follow me, you're not really following me. That's why you're not changing like it could change. If you...